Hey everybody, welcome to Daddy Duty 365, the show where celebrity dads reveal the good, the bad, and the funny of fatherhood. Today we have a special edition because our guest is talking about raising teens, dealing with your kids' female issues, and plus he is the director of external communications over at Comcast, so he's given us an inside scoop to all the amazing things that Comcast is doing to keep us safe and entertained during quarantine. Plus, parents, you definitely have to stick around and listen to his solution for getting your kids off of their electrical devices. It is pretty genius. So stay tuned as I chat with Michael Bybee over at Comcast. I want to welcome everyone to Daddy Duty 365, the show where we talk to celebrity dads about the good, the bad, and the funny of fatherhood. And Michael, you're a celebrity in a different way. You're a celebrity corporate guy and a celebrity dad because your kids think you're the bomb.com.
Thank you. It's a bit of an overstatement. However, you know, it's funny how I know your kiddos are a little bit younger than mine in how they change over time. And I used to be the coolest, the smartest, the funniest, most handsome guy ever. Yet, right about 13, all of a sudden, it's like a light switch. Sudden, I'm not the coolest. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the funniest. But I'm in there. I'm hanging in there.
Look, at least if you're on the totem pole somewhere, then that's a good thing. You know, you're ranking somewhere.
Totally agree. And I swear, Shannon, it was like a light switch in that, you know, it's that I'm a very affectionate person. I've always been. And with my girls, I'm like, hey, come give dad a hug. And all of a sudden now I get this shoulder.
Oh.
I'm like, what? Like, oh my gosh, what happened? Who are you, child? What happened to my little princess?
Let's go ahead and give everybody the kid roll call, your ages, the genders of the kids, the names.
Whatever. So we are a beautiful blended family of six. Have an 18-year-old daughter who's going to the University of San Diego, a 16-year-old son who's a sophomore, a 13-year-old daughter who's in eighth grade, and then a 11-year-old daughter who's in fifth grade. So wow.
Yeah, a full house and all in those above tween years. They're like teenagers and up now. So that's a little bit different than what I'm used to. My kids being 9, 7, and 4. So I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
Right. Well, it's coming, ready or not. It's going to be there. Well, the good news, though, Shannon, is I joke about how they kind of pull away a little bit. And I'm sure we did as well when we were at that age. It's a natural stage of development. They end up coming back around.
Oh, okay.
They're coming back. So there's the light is at the end of the tunnel. It's out there, but it's there.
Okay, so wait, how long do I have to wait until they come back around though?
I'm seeing it with the 18-year-old stepdaughter. She's coming back. So there's a window of maybe 13 to 18 where they kind of, and you know, we probably did it as well. I mean, I have to think back, but I'm sure we did.
Well, let's think back to when you were a young guy and who was the father figure in your life and what was it like growing up with your dad?
Well, I am very lucky when I think about that. It's a great question in that I had a very engaged, loving, supportive family unit, a great mother and father. Who my mom was always the team mom. We were the house in the neighborhood that everybody came to.
Oh, nice.
Was the assistant coach at every team I ever played on. So both were very, very instrumental in raising me. And I try and pass that along to my kiddos.
That is a blessing because so many kids absolutely don't have parents that are active, not only in their lives, but active, like the fact that your dad was coaching the teams you're on. That is a huge, well, I don't know if it's a blessing and a curse, but it seems like a huge advantage to have somebody in your life like that to be a role model for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Maybe 80% blessing, 20% curse. Because he was harder on me than anybody. But yeah, very lucky as I think about that. And I think it's kind of my responsibility slash a very innate behavior of mine to pass that along to my kiddos, you know?
Yeah, what was it like? I know it's a strange question, but we have to ask it these days. What was it like growing up with two parents in your household? Because a lot of people, they don't have that. I know when I was growing up, when we were little, it was like, oh my gosh, your parents are divorced. We feel so bad for you. What's that like? And then as I, you know, went to college, it was like, what? Your parents are together? What's that like?
Right. Well, I didn't know any better. I honestly, my thought is, you see, divorce is much more common these days than it was back in the day. My parents actually ended up getting divorced my senior year of high school. But I didn't know any better. I mean, you're such an innocent kid. They provided this just house of love and support that was just amazing. And I'm lucky to have been a part of it. And then fast forward again, like I said, I mean, I try and pass it along to my kids.
So does that mean you're coaching some of the Little League teams?
Yeah. Well, so of course, I kind of strongly encouraged them to get into basketball. That was my sport. Mm-hmm. So I coached many a basketball team. But now, so there, I have a track runner. Stepson is football, basketball. 13-year-old daughter is volleyball. And then my 11-year-old now is playing violin. I got nothing on the violin. I'm there in full support, but it's, again, you push and pull, and it's, encourage all of it.
Right, you're more athletic than musical. I get that.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, so what do you think were some of the characteristics that you saw in your father or just learned innately that you wanted to transition into the way you raised your kids?
Very, very loving, very affectionate and loving. And I think that it's been easy for me with daughters to kind of be that way. And it's like in a perfect world, I could put a bubble around them. I never want anything to happen to them, but it's life and they need to learn these things. So yes, he was a very affectionate father, but at the same time, he was tough on me. He pushed me. He had high standards for us kids. I have an older sister.
Wait, when you say he pushed you, in which way, like, how did he push you? And do you think it was effective? Because I know a lot of parents are like, you can do it. Come on, you work hard. And then they're like, did it work? Was it effective?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think it was. And a lot of it, I mean, we were talking about sports earlier. A lot of it was in sports, but even in life, it's like, hey, get out there and mow the yard. You know, you want your $5, your allowance for the week. You got to earn it. Go wash the car. I mean, nothing's free. So he pushed me and it kind of held me to a high standard, as did my mom, to be honest. Yeah. And I think it taught me a lot of values that I carry to this day.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you have three girls and a boy, did you think it was easier or harder to raise the boy? We always have this debate on which is easier to raise.
Oh, funny you say that, because he's 16 now and I joke and I say, what he has going for him is that I used to be a 16-year-old boy, but what him. Is I used to be a 16-year-old boy.
Does he believe it?
Right. So I think early on, it was easier for the girls or to raise the girls. But now, nothing but love for all three of my girls. The drama and everything that goes with the teen years is presenting new challenges for me. Mm-hmm. So whereas the 16-year-old boy he's totally cool.
Okay, so what are these challenges I need to prepare myself for the teenagers? Just go ahead and lay it on me. What's going on?
One of the biggest things is social media and the and you know, those are, at least they weren't, none of those were around when I was a teenager. So it was basically mom and dad, hey, be home in time for dinner. Like, get out of the house, go run. You come back and you're home in time for dinner. But now it's, I mean, they kind of hide out in their rooms and they're on their devices. Mm-hmm. Like, no. And there's a lot of kind of social pressures that go with that. How many likes did I get? Mm. People do I have following me? And I'm like, the sooner, what I try and teach them is the sooner you realize it doesn't matter what other people think of you, the better off you're gonna be, really. I mean, it took me a long time to get there, but we can only try. And one of my favorite quotes is, as they learn and grow as kids, as do we as parents, and how to deal with these new things that weren't around like social media when we were kids.
That's great advice, but the reality behind that is it's difficult. And although parents, I try to tell my daughter at 9 the same thing, they still are like trying to live up to that cool kid, you know, persona, because they want to be liked, they want to be accepted. So, you know, how have you tried to navigate what has worked, what hasn't worked, and navigating that world of just being yourself?
I think spending time with them and getting outside. I mean, now we're all going through this recovery, this pandemic, it's, you know, they have their distant learning, their rooms. We're all finding, you know, all six of us are finding different corners of the house to work, to study. Let's get out there. Let's spend time together. Let's Let's go on a walk. Let's talk and remove. Let's put the phones and the devices down. Let's play board games. We ride bikes. But it's connecting with them without all those distractions that I find is a very positive, healthy thing to do.
Yeah, it's funny how I imagine people being different families now than once the quarantine over. They're like, okay, I'll see you when I turn 18.
I know.
You don't see them again. It's like, oh, I had this right. wonderful time with them. That
I totally agree. You know, and I'm sure that you're seeing this as well, is how many people that are being active, that are outside walking, riding bikes as families. I really hope we as a society continue that after you know, we get back to some sense of normalcy, because again, it's a very, very healthy thing for us as a human race, for that matter.
Yeah, I can just imagine. I have never seen as many people in my neighborhood that are out now. I didn't even know they existed. I was like, oh, wait, you live here? Oh, wait, you live here?
Yeah.
Didn't even know I had those neighbors. But
right.
But it's good to see people are getting out and, you know, people are getting to, you know, get to know each other. Like sort of again, because it is like a lot of people are getting to know each other and learning how to communicate with people. So
agreed.
What's the hardest thing about communicating with a teenager?
I would go back to getting their undivided attention. I think there's so many distractions, and you can tell as a parent when I don't want to get on my soapbox and preach like this is how things are, because you need to get down to their level so they hear you and listen to you. But you can tell immediately, I'm sure as our parents could as well, when you're like, okay, anyway, it's, you know, sometimes I have to pause. I'm like, sweetheart, please. Are you listening? Okay. Let's reengage. And it kind of getting to their level so that they do listen and you want it to sink in and them to, you know, take that away and learn from whatever it is you're talking about.
Okay, but you have an interesting duality because you are also a corporate exec with Comcast, who is also a sponsor on the show. Thank you, Comcast! But so it's like you guys at Comcast are creating the opportunity for us to stream fast, for us to download and upload very easily and quickly. So you guys are responsible for giving us all this information, but at the same time, you're like, put down those phones, kids.
Right. So, yeah, the irony. Well, you know, I think we as a company at Comcast, we realize how important of a role that we're playing to keep everybody connected. I mean, connectivity matters more right now than likely it ever has.
Can you imagine?
Connected to their families, their workplaces, their schools, and even the latest information on this coronavirus. So again, we're doing a lot of things to kind of help ease as we kind of, you know, strive through this whole recovery period.
Yeah. Well, can you elaborate on some of the things that Comcast is doing, maybe some of the technology that's available? I know my internet speed has never been better, and I was worried because I was like, everyone's going to be on the internet, but my stuff is happening fast. It's coming through very easily.
Good, good. Well, I'm happy to hear that. yeah, there's a number of initiatives that we've implemented in the past couple of months. One, and I'll kind of go through a couple of the high level. One, we've opened up our Wi-Fi hotspots, our business and outdoor locations are available to customers and non-customers. And those are throughout the entire greater Houston area. And those, again, are for even if you're not a customer, we know how important it is to stay connected. So
now those hotspots, they're usually just in like locations where there are a lot of people. Is that how you decide where to put those
Kind of both businesses everybody? And outdoor Wi-Fi hotspots. So easiest way to do it is the website is xfinity.com/Wi-Fi to find the maps of where the nearest Wi-Fi hotspot is.
Oh, okay.
If you do indeed need to find one. We have we're pausing our data plan. We know again how important it is for customers and everybody. In my household of 6 people, your household of 5, I mean, there's a lot of data usage happening. So we've 1 terabyte of data a month is usually the data cap. We've suspended that for at least 60 days. So everyone has access to that and there's no concerns about that. No disconnects or late fees. Our Internet Essentials program, which is our—
Wait. We got to back up. You said no disconnect or late fees during this coronavirus quarantine?
Correct.
So even if we don't pay our bills, we're going to be okay? You're not going to shut us down?
That's correct. Although we are asking, if you are in fact watching this and you are in a financial strain, a place where you're unable to pay, give us a call and we will totally work with you. Absolutely. Wow.
That's huge. Can you imagine people's insanity if they were not able to?
Again, I go back to connectivity means more to us now as a society than likely ever has before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and you guys also have something really pretty cool. I don't remember the name of it, but it's a way for people to view their local stations and everything very clearly and still be able to like DVR things and save things digitally on their phones. What's that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, we have a number of things. XFi is one of them, way to manage all your devices. And funny enough, going back to us as parents, we've seen data usage kind of shift, as you would imagine, as a lot more people are studying from home, working from home. What used to be a peak in data traffic in the early evenings, as you would get home from school, get home from work, have dinner, and everybody jump on their devices, check email, whatever. We've seen it shift to now obviously more throughout the day. More so with XFi, for example, since we brought it up, you have the ability to manage your entire network, all your devices, see everything. It's a fantastic app. But you also have the ability as a parent to pause devices. So when it's dinner time and you're going, kiddos, it's time for dinner, and no one's coming, you pull up that XFi app and pause devices, and amazingly, all of a sudden people start showing up.
That is brilliant.
I swear I've used it, and it's a riot, and I threaten it, but it's like I've done it enough that they just know when I say, now, please come to dinner.
That's good. You've trained them. That is amazing. Right? I think every parent needs that. XFi. That is the thing that we need to get.
Right.
What else is on the horizon? Since we have you here, we want to get some insight. What else do you guys have coming in the future that we can look forward to?
One thing I do want to mention is we have an Internet Essentials program, which is our broadband adoption program. There are thousands and thousands of people who are kind of low income here in Houston that need connectivity, again, more now than ever. That we, for the first 60 days, are providing free internet service for low-income households.
Wow.
And then for 25 megs down and 3 megs up, all they need to do is go to internetessentials.com and take a look at the website. And if you're interested, sign up for internetessentials.com and get connected. Because again, everyone needs to be connected at this point. One of the other cool features that we have is through our voice remote, and again, we've done this in our household, is you go use your voice remote and all you do, you press the voice remote and say education, and it brings up a plethora. It's like 2,000 hours of educational programming.
Really?
From like K or kindergarten through second, third through fifth, sixth through eighth, and then high school. But there's thousands and thousands of educational shows that you can watch. And we've actually pulled it up. And some of those are some of the same classes and shows that are being implemented in the schools.
Oh, wow.
Recognized by my kiddos. So pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot going on. And again, our goal, our priority is to keep people connected and making things as easy as possible for everybody.
Well, it sounds like you guys are doing a great job at keeping people connected. And you were talking about the Wi-Fi hotspots. A lot of times I'm not even looking for a Wi-Fi hotspot. It just automatically connects to
right.
it. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm on Wi-Fi. So yep. I love that.
Yep.
All right. So I want to talk about Comcast's commitment to the community also, because I am very grateful for you guys sponsoring the Daddy Duty 365 podcast. Why is it so important for you all to sponsor things like this podcast and community initiatives that you guys are doing?
And thank you, Shannon. And we're happy to be a partner with you in such a fantastic initiative. I think it's very important. While we're a huge global company now, for that matter, we're next to you in the grocery store, sitting next to you at church. I mean, we consider ourselves a local company. So it's very important for us to support local initiatives, businesses, nonprofit organizations, Daddy Duty 360. It's very, very important to us. And honestly, I feel lucky to work for a company that puts their money, time and energy behind those types of initiatives. So we're in a really good place.
Yeah. Is that something that you think you're also trying to impart on your children to give back, to be involved in their community and things like that? And how do you do
it? Absolutely. We volunteer at a number of places. I'm going to give it up to probably my favorite nonprofit organization, Kids Meals.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Thousands and thousands of meals every day. And we volunteered there a number of times. Yes, it's very, very important. I think it's every parent's responsibility to instill those types of values in their kids, as my parents did for me.
Now, how did the kids react when you want them to go and do something like that? Are they?
You know, it's funny going back to what we were talking about, like how they become these different individuals now that they're in the teen years. But they like it. And I think that I am making an impact and they are learning in that for my daughter's fifth birthday, she actually had her birthday at kids' meals.
No way.
And they went and they set up shop and they made like hundreds of lunches. So very cool as a parent to see that. Now, to be very transparent, there's a little bit more of, come on, we should do this, let's do this. I'm like, but Dad, can we, you know, I mean, it probably goes, I'd like to think in every household in the country, but, you know.
So what's the speech you give them when they do that? You know, it's like, you know, people are starving. You have it so much better than everyone else. You know, what's the speech you give them?
I guarantee you every parent watching this has had to break it down and be like, you know, you need to recognize how good you have it. I work my butt off. Your mom works her butt off. Responsibility to give back to those who are less fortunate. Trust me, when there's a need for that, that comes out. I try not to, you know, have it get that far, but when it does, I have no problem breaking it down. Absolutely.
All right, you seem like you're good at breaking a lot of things down. So what is maybe the toughest thing you've had to break down, or maybe even something that you did not break down very well to your kids, or your wife had to step in, or your kids were like, Dad, I know this already, or, you know, something like that. We're trying to help those other parents out there if they have some challenges with these things.
So it's unique. I'll go to the fact that I have three daughters. In that, there's things that happen that as men, we kind of don't entirely understand as much as I try and I like to create that open line of communication. That there's, for example, my daughter, about a month or so ago, my 13-year-old goes, hey, Dad, I need to go to the grocery store. And I said, well, what do you need? And she goes, well, I need to go to like a drugstore, like a CVS or Walgreens or something. I said, what do you need? She goes, I just need to go, Dad. And I go, sweetheart, what do you need? Because I can just go pick it up for you on my way home or whatever. She goes, I need feminine products, Dad.
Oh, no.
And I go, oh, okay. Fast forward, it was a couple weeks later, and she will shoot me if she hears this story. She gets in and she goes, hey, Dad, something happened. And for like the next 5 days, I'm going to be really, really spicy, just so you know. In that regard, it's understanding that you can only be as much as you can for your daughters, but they do need their mom and that female perspective and support that can completely understand what they're going through. But it's fun. And I try to create that atmosphere where it's a very open communication. You can come to me and say you need female products and I'm happy to go, okay, I will drive and take you. pay for whatever.
That's good, because I'm the same way. I'm one of those dads that say, you know what, I'd rather go get those feminine products for you at the store than go get diapers for you at the store. How about that?
Right. Oh, amen.
That's a big difference, right?
Totally.
All right. Okay. So now we come to the part where I have to ask you this segment I love. It's called I Love My Kids, But, because there's always something that's just going to grind your gears about your kids. Like, you love them, but So what is that for you? I love my kids.
Ugh. I love my kids so much. I mean, it's like it's coming into parenthood. And again, I go back to what we were talking about earlier with my parents providing this loving, supportive, challenging, amazing childhood for myself. And that it was very innate for me that I know I would be a very engaged, loving, supportive father. But the toughest road that I've had to navigate is the social media and it's the devices. You know, there's times where it turns into an argument, but I'm like, please, there's rules, there are ground rules, no devices at the dinner table. You know, let's get outside. I mean, I go back to when we were kids, it was like, be home in time for dinner. And we would just run and then we'd come back. But now they're just tied to their devices that it's difficult for me to understand that. And I know there's a lot of social pressures within their age group. But that absolutely grinds me big time.
So what is your solution? You just
the best I can.
Is your solution just shut it down? You hit the button.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, don't make me. I'll pause that device.
See, I think this is one, if nothing else, parents need to know to get that X-Fi so they can shut it down.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, before we go, I also have to ask you, what is one piece of advice you would have given yourself before you had kids?
One piece of advice, cherish the moment. Mm. Cherish the moment every day. I have just like, you know, I'd say kind of in life, we have different chapters, like you know, your childhood, teenage years, et cetera. Like I cherish every nail painting party, walk, bike ride, board game. It requires a lot of patience at times, but cherish the moment.
Yeah. Well, I want to be able to cherish this moment right now that you have here. And one day, 50 years from now, when your kids are watching this and they're watching it with their kids, what's one message you want to give to your children about you being their father?
Be patient and recognize as you learn and grow as children, we do as parents, and that our heart is in the right place with every decision we make.
That's good advice for all parents and kids to hear, right? All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us for Daddy
Thank Duty. You, Shannon. Great to be with you.
And thank you. Keep up the great work at Comcast and in your household as an amazing dad.
Will do.
All right, thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Shannon.
Hey, everybody, before you go, we just want to say thanks again for watching this episode of Daddy Duty 365, but we also need your help to get the word out about this new podcast. So please subscribe, follow, share, and set up alerts to be notified of new episodes when they drop every single Wednesday. And remember that this podcast is brought to you in part by Comcast. Thanks, Comcast.